606 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. It is Tuesday, August 29th, 2017. Thanks again to Michael Novak and Zet Harbor for coming in. This hour, we are joined by conservative blogger and, as it turns out, Mozart scholar, Matt Hoy. Mr. Hoy, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I did do fine in that class. I believe I got either a B or an A, so...
So you're a fan of classical music. Every time you come on, I learn something else about you.
I played a musical instrument for 3 years of high school, middle school, elementary school, total 7 years. So,
did you give it up? You still with it?
Not really. Gave it up.
Now, in all honesty, the only reason Matt's here is that I invited him to get out of Paso Robles for an hour. How hot is it up there?
It is... I wouldn't leave anything you care about in your car because it will bake. Well, you could probably bake a cake in your car. Just leave it in there for a couple hours. It's about, I think I saw the high today is about 109 degrees and it feels.
But aren't your evenings nice once you get to the evening if you're still alive?
If you're still alive. Yeah, my wife and I just bought a house up there and unfortunately the house still has its original air conditioner. And it was built in 1981.
Oh, dear.
Now, it does pump out cold air. It just doesn't pump out very much cold air.
Yeah.
So.
Matt, your website is?
Hoystory.com.
We are going to talk a lot about Berkeley and a little bit about Charlottesville because there's some news out of there, too. But I want to start with our good friend Tom Foulkes and his column in the Tribune where, if people didn't see it, predictably, Tom calls out the local conservative community for not speaking out against what happened at Charlottesville.
Exactly. And they need to take a stand. And why aren't they talking? Why aren't they coming out against the hate that occurred there that tragically resulted in the death of a young woman when a nut job KKK guy drove his car through a crowd? So he goes and chastises the local Republican Party.
I'm going to guess it was Compton, Pashong, Arnold. Am I even close?
Oh, you are spot on.
All right.
You have psychic powers. No, I meant psychic.
Probably psychotic, too. and so he chews out our local county supervisors because they don't speak out against Charlottesville.
The Republican Central Committee, the Tea Party, and CoLab for not speaking out about Charlottesville. This is a stupid game. It's a game politicians play. It's a game reporters play. It's somebody who we think you might be sympathetic to, even if they aren't. I don't think any Republican in this county, especially elected Republican, is sympathetic to the KKK. But, you know, if you don't come and speak out about it, if you don't condemn them for something that happened 3,000 miles away, then you're aiding and abetting it. Yeah. And prompted by this, I went and searched the Tribune's archives. I can find no evidence of Tom Foulkes condemning the attack by a Bernie Sanders supporter on Republicans at a practicing for a charity baseball game in Alexandria, Virginia last month. Steve Scalise was nearly killed, was in the hospital for over a month, is now reportedly has to learn to walk again because his body was so badly damaged by that. Tom Foulkes, silent. So
I'm shocked.
By Tom Foulkes' own standards, I guess that he endorses that sort of violence against Republicans. I don't really think he does, but if you're going to play these stupid games... Let's apply the same standard both ways.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. All right, here's Associated Press. Police have arrested 13 people in connection to violence following this weekend's protest in Berkeley. In the melee, several people, mainly peaceful right-wing protesters. I want to repeat that. Mainly peaceful right-wing protesters became targets of violence from black-clad members of the left-wing extremist movement Antifa. The Antifa protest was staged as a counter to a No to Marxism rally that never happened, but was slated to take place at the Martin Luther King Jr. Civic Center Park. Despite the cancellation of the anti-Marxist rally, over 4,000 people, mainly leftists and Antifa members, showed up to protest. Many of them chanted slogans, Matt, like, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all. They also set up a separate demonstration on the Berkeley campus to rally against hate. I don't know why I find that amusing, but anyway. What's your thoughts on the weekend?
First off, that's an interesting kind of patriotism that says no USA. They hate the country that gives them these privileges. There is not another country in the world that would allow them to do this. And you know, these are the same people who are constantly saying we need to stop hate speech. They're the ones that didn't want Milo to be allowed to speak here at Cal Poly. They were happy when Berkeley exploded last February when Milo was slated to speak there, and over $100,000 worth of damage was done to the Berkeley campus and tens of thousands more to nearby businesses when Antifa rioted. So they are, and here's kind of an interesting disconnect for the Antifa movement, is they want to make hate speech illegal. Well, right now, who would be in charge of making hate speech illegal? And whose speech would it apply to? President Donald Trump, Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Do you really want them making that decision? Because they aren't going to shut up Milo. They aren't going to shut up, you know, Ann Coulter. What they're going to do is they're going to shut up you guys. And you wonder just what the thought process is.
Do you know much about the Antifa movement?
Just what I read in the newspapers. No. And sadly, you know, there's quite a bit of newspaper coverage, at least in places like the Washington Post and Salon and these other magazines that kind of excuse what Antifa is doing because Trump is so bad.
Well, the Washington Post had it on the front page yesterday. I mean, despite everything with the hurricane, they ran this story about the fact that the counter-protesters used physical violence against the original protesters. I was struck by that.
They've also run op-eds by professors saying that, hey, you know, Antifa's violence is understandable and even morally right.
But is this in response to the election of Trump? Is that where they're coming from, or is it larger than that?
I think that's the proximate cause. You know, before Trump was even running for president, these Antifa types were the ones, same outfit. They were the same ones protesting, you know, the Group of Eight Summit and international trade and globalization. And they were the ones, you know, smashing Starbucks windows in Seattle. So it's the same outfit. It's just now we've got something else, you know, even worse in their eyes to protest against.
Do they get a pass from the media, from the mainstream media? Because as you know, after Charlottesville, it was all about neo-Nazis and KKK. And very few people were talking about the anti-fascists.
I think they generally get a, well, you can see it in a lot of the coverage. If you go back to, you know, last spring and you look at the coverage, it's the protests were mostly peaceful until a handful of violent protesters did this, that, or the other thing. Well, sadly, in a lot of these cases, the fact that there are a lot of peaceful protesters who are kind of through inaction allowing this violence to occur because the Antifa people will jump over barriers, they will go and attack, and then they will melt back in with the larger peaceful crowd.
Do we give the police any credit on this, Matt? Because this time they actually arrested people. They have 13 suspects, suspicion of various offenses, assault with a deadly weapon, felony assault, violations of the municipal code. This sounds pretty serious.
Well, we'll see what happens when it goes to a district attorney, and we'll see if they spend any time in jail for any of this.
Six people received injuries serious enough to require medical attention by paramedics. Two had to be hospitalized, according to the police.
Yeah. Well, if you read that that whole article, and I've been looking at kind of the ABC version of it, which is probably mostly the AP report. You know, there were a couple of Hispanic pro-Trump people who, you know, got beaten up. They say, you know, the article says it was mostly, you know, right-wing people who were attacked. Well, there was also a reporter who was attacked. He was one of the people attacked. And I'm never in favor of people, you know, going after reporters. I used to be one.
Yeah.
You know, so to that extent, it's, you know, self-preservation. And, you know, reporters shouldn't have to, shouldn't, you know, get involved. But you had a reporter for, I believe, Reveal News out of San Francisco who actually kind of jumped on a guy who was being kicked and beaten to protect him. And he was a black guy who was a reporter. And reporters shouldn't have to do that.
Right. Matt Hoy on this broadcast, his website is hoystory.com. We're talking a little bit about what happened up in Berkeley over the weekend, a little bit about the column in the Tribune on Sunday that left both Matt and I scratching our heads but not surprised. We'll come back and continue the conversation. Your phone call still to come. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Glad to have you with us on the Dave Congleton Show. My guest for the hour is blogger Matthew Hoy. You can check out his website at hoystory.com, where he writes about the issues of the day. Talk a little bit about what happened up in Berkeley with these protests over the weekend, a little bit about Tom Foulkes' column where he called out the conservatives for not commenting on the violence in Charlottesville. But as Matt pointed out, he can find no record of Tom Foulkes calling out the violence against Republicans at the baseball game. Was that in June?
That was in July.
July.
They were practicing for a charity baseball game that happens each year, and a Bernie Sanders supporter pulled out an SKS rifle and started shooting the place up. And if Steve Scalise hadn't been there, he had a security detail because he's a member of Republican leadership.
And they
leadership.
Fired back. Right.
And they got wounded. Two Secret Service agents got wounded. But if he hadn't been there and those two agents hadn't been there, it's very possible that you would have had a half dozen at least dead Republicans.
We've got Matt Hoy here, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We always invite your participation in the conversation. You wanted to talk more about the response to the protests.
Yeah, a couple of things. First off, you know, there were arrests this time, which is better than last time. The problem is Berkeley could have kept it so that there was nobody injured and nobody sent to the hospital if they had stood up to the Antifa protesters. At one point late in the day, they basically let them, you know, rush over the barricades, and that's when it started to get violent. And they were told, basically, and the Berkeley mayor, you know, praises them for doing this. You know, it would have been even worse. Maybe you would have gotten a few cops injured, but, you know, cops are, A, sign up for that, and B, are in riot gear versus, you know, regular citizens who are not. The second thing is the mayor of Berkeley, Jesse, and I may be pronouncing his last name wrong, Aragueen, who knows, has called on Cal to cancel Free Speech Week.
Cal Berkeley.
And that is a week coming up here in September. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're working on having Ben Shapiro, who's a conservative. They want to have Milo there again, and he's kind of an alt-right guy. I'm not sure I'd call him a conservative at all. You'd have Ann Coulter there. And he's basically, he says, Cal needs to cancel this because otherwise Antifa is going to riot and destroy stuff. And apparently, he won't put, you know, cops up there to protect the free speech rights of people he disagrees with. It's a heckler's veto. I guess it's my understanding from Ben Shapiro that they were required to submit a $15,000 security fee to Cal to have him come and speak. And what's that security fee for?
My recollection is that it was either because of Ann Coulter or Milo Yiannopoulos last spring at Berkeley. They said, we're going to cancel and do something in the fall. Is that your understanding?
It was Milo.
Okay.
It was Milo.
So we'll come back to in the fall.
Right.
So now it sounds like they want to have a whole week of conservative speakers.
That's the plan.
Okay.
We'll see if it continues to happen, because it's not solidified yet.
But it begs the question, and I'm a First Amendment guy, but if you know there's going to be trouble, what do you do?
You do what Cal Poly did when Milo came to speak here.
Yeah, but with all due respect, San Luis Obispo is not Berkeley.
This is true, but
with all due respect,
San Luis Obispo was not going to be Berkeley. In large part because there were so many cops there, and it was obvious they were ready.
So you want Berkeley to go ahead with Free Speech Week in September, just cop up.
Yeah.
Police everywhere, whatever.
And if somebody starts throwing bottles, you go out there, you grab them, you arrest them.
So you want a more aggressive response from law enforcement.
Well, that's what – otherwise it devolves into what happened at Berkeley in February, where they just run wild and do $100,000 worth of property damage to the campus.
Now, with these 13, whatever the number was, being arrested, isn't that going to send a signal that now the police are, okay, look, you can protest, fine, but at the point it becomes violent, then we come after you?
I'd hope so, but I think the 13, when you look at the 13 arrests versus the viral videos of them beating people up, I think the bloodthirsty nature of kind of a lot of these people look at that as a potential incentive rather than the potential arrest as a disincentive. And if these people doing this are students, the UC Berkeley administration should come out and say, look, if you get arrested for violence or something like that, we're going to kick you out of school too.
Yeah, but I was looking at the Antifa. The oldest person arrested was 47 years old. There was a guy from Sparks, Nevada. There is a woman from Oakland who's 40. I'm not sure how many, if any, of these people were actually Berkeley students.
None of them, maybe.
Yeah.
But one way to make sure that the Berkeley students don't participate in the violence is to warn them, look, your college education, we may boot you out of here.
But they can't. We've talked about this before. They can't do that because of the Ed Code or something like that. There's something in the Ed Code that limits the power of administrators to punish students.
Well, then we need to.
And I need to
do something about the Ed Code.
I need to do a separate show on this. I forget the specifics, Matt. But there is something about the Ed Code where the students have been given all these rights over the years, and it's very hard to expel them from school. Short of the most dramatic offenses. Anyway.
Like beating someone to, campus.
I'm with you. Matt Hoy is here. HoyStory.com is his website. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. We'll hear from you. Up next, it's the Dave Congleton Show. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Stick around, because after ABC Radio News at the top of the hour, we turn things over to Buck Sexton with America Now, up-to-the-date analysis and commentary on the news of the day. And don't forget to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Andy Morris, Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door. Craig and I will be back tomorrow at 3:05 with the Wednesday edition of Hometown Radio. Meanwhile, we are back with Matt Hoy. His website is hoystory.com. We are talking about the increasing violence. Sure, you could talk about Charlottesville, but then what happened over the weekend in Berkeley? 13 people arrested. The counter-protesters used violence against the original protesters. We welcome your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We invite your participation in the conversation. And we're also talking a little bit about Tom Folk's column in the Tribune on Sunday, where he called out, and he does this all the time, Matt. He calls out the local conservatives,
mm-hmm.
this time because they haven't spoken out against the violence coming out of Charlottesville. But as you've pointed out, nor did Tom speak out in calling out the violence against the Republicans in Washington, D.C. when they were attacked by a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Right.
So the nonsense is going on both sides.
Yeah, it's a stupid game. It's a game they always play. It's a stupid game. I wish both sides would stop it, but as long as either side sees political opportunity in it, they'll continue to do it.
To the phones we go. Jennifer's in Oceano on KVEC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Yes. So, you know, I'm a progressive, and so I just wanted to go on record right away saying that I am very unhappy about the violence that happened up in Berkeley. I'm probably more concerned with the violence in Charlottesville. Someone actually did get killed, and besides that, just because of my personal history, when we start talking about Nazis, I start getting really afraid, and I feel that there were people in that town that were feeling terrorized.
But don't you think that somebody could have gotten killed in Berkeley?
Oh, yes, I think it's entirely possible. Right. And if that had happened, I would be equally appalled, and I am appalled, and I'm totally against the Antifa coming in and being violent. If we look at the Antifa, just like most other organizations, there are going to be some people that are more violent within an organization and less violent, let's just say.
Sure.
So I don't feel that we've had plenty of them come to various marches and protests, and there was somebody there at the vigil in Mission Plaza. There's never been any tenor or tone of violence at any of these things. And so it doesn't have to be that way. I don't think we should label a whole group, but we should absolutely. I'm glad that some of them were arrested. I wish that more of them were arrested. And I honestly feel that strategically, if we look at politics in general, this was a huge mistake. They hurt the messaging of the left, of liberals, of anti-Trump people, big time by becoming violent in the way that they did.
What do you say, Matt?
I think she's absolutely right. I think there's good evidence of that. If you go to Nancy Pelosi's campaign website, she issues a statement that is unequivocal, isn't wishy-washy like the one Trump gave, you know, with regard to Charlottesville. She comes down on Antifa like a ton of bricks. And I think she does that because I think they are a black eye for the progressive movement. I don't think progressives need them. I think that they hurt the Democratic Party in such a way that, you know, this is how you got Trump. It's that sort of attitude,
right,
that sort of behavior that took enough of the middle away, you know, who had been behind Obama, enough of the middle away from Hillary Clinton and went for Trump.
I think it's entirely wrong to lump the Antifa in any way with progressives or liberal messaging. Their message is very different than the progressive message or the liberal message when you actually dig into what they say that they're fighting for. And so I think that this is something that the people on the right like to do. They like to lump them in with us because they are out there supposedly on our side when we are protesting, but they aren't what I would consider a liberal or a progressive. They are an entity unto themselves.
But doesn't the left also dump all the right together into one group? You know, hey,
Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people absolutely do.
Yeah.
But all the right are not Nazis. And I personally don't call everybody who's a Republican a Nazi or a member of the KKK. Do you, Dave?
I hope not.
No, they're not. Right? There's lots of people. I'm going to use Trump's "there's lots of good people" or whatever. There are lots of good people in the Republican Party. They just don't have the same politics that I have, but that doesn't make them Nazis or KKK members.
Fair enough.
Anymore, so, right, on the other side. So,
all right, Jennifer, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Matt Hoy back on Hometown Radio. Greg is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Greg.
I feel like I'm in junior high again. The left versus the right. The right versus the left. They're all like a bunch of big babies. Hey, listen, take that time instead of going downtown with a bunch of picket signs and go down to like a convalescent home and visit some elderly people or do something constructive. Go to a hospital and, you know, help change bed messes and stuff. Like, what, this is a waste of time. And you know who's laughing? All the people in charge that are making money while we're all fighting each other down here in the streets. They're laughing at us. They're just banking on us, man. It's ridiculous. Left, right. God, grow up, man. Both sides. Grow up. Tired of you. Just go away. Go play somewhere else, okay?
I agree.
Thanks for your help, you guys. See you later.
Thanks. Thank you, buddy. Good to hear from you. 543. Well, he's kind of saying what you said.
There's a certain amount of truth to it. Right. I mean...
Let's hear from Matt in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Matt.
Good evening. Beautiful day again in this paradise we live in.
It is, isn't it, Matt?
It is. I appreciate what you do. The caller prior to this lady, I just turned on, so I don't know exactly what the discussion is about.
We're talking about the Antifa and Berkeley, what happened over the weekend, Matt.
Ah, okay. Well, the lady who just called in prior lumped the... right-wing people as Nazis.
No, and, she very specifically didn't do that.
That's Matt. Not true, Matt. That's not what she said.
She very specifically did not do that.
Well, she said some people do.
But not her.
But her
and she condemned those people.
Right-wing people were Nazis. And I want to take exception to that. With anybody who argues that is absolutely ignorant of political philosophy and philosophy in general. Because Nazi movement was the National Socialist Party of Germany. And they were left-wingers. They were not right-wingers. So people want to say, you're right-wingers, you're Nazis. That's a stupid thing to say. That means that shows how ignorant they are. Because Nazism is socialism.
Right.
National Socialist Party in Germany.
Right. But again, Jennifer...
That shows ignorance. How can we even argue with people who are that ignorant?
Right. But
they don't know the reality of the political philosophy.
Jennifer went out of her way to avoid the stereotype. Matt, I think you should too. Matt, do you agree with me? No, Matt Hoy. Matt Hoy. Okay.
No, I
get too many Matts.
Okay. If she disavowed herself from calling right-wingers Nazis,
yes.
Well, good for her. Good for her.
All right.
For all those people that don't do that, I say that their ignorance is it's just unbelievable.
Stereotyping.
There's no way we can talk with them.
Stereotyping on either side is wrong. I think we could all agree on that.
I agree.
Yes.
Honestly, if people like Jennifer got more involved in politics and didn't kind of submit to kind of the cynicism that occurs once you get an elected official, I think she would be, you know, I'm sure I don't agree with her on any policy issues, but she has the right attitude. She's not a hater. She's not someone out there trying to rile people up for her own personal political benefit. I think we'd be a better off as a nation if there were more people like her.
Matt, what else do you want to say?
That's what I wanted to call about is the definition of Nazis.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. All right, sir. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. HoyStory.com is his website. And you write about issues of the day. You're like Buck Sexton. You comment on issues of the day.
Yeah, I wrote up some stuff about Antifa yesterday. I written something about Sarah Palin's libel lawsuit, which got struck down today.
I want to talk about
the New York Times.
We'll talk about that when we come back. This is News Talk 920, FM 96.5, KVEC. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We're in our final segment with the blogger Matt Hoy. check out hoystory.com. We have been talking about what happened in Berkeley, a little bit about Charlottesville, a little bit about the hypocrisy of Tom Folks. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We're both condoning the violence out in Berkeley over the weekend. What am I? What did I say?
You said condoning.
Whatever. Sorry. It's the last hour.
I understand.
We're both condemning, thank you, the violence against, and it turns out there weren't even that many of the protesters.
No.
Originally.
No, it was a small, they were vastly outnumbered.
And then the Antifa swept in, and there was violence. And if you read just about any article, there is growing concern that these kinds of confrontations are just going to continue to happen.
Yeah, and I hate to see that happen to our politics. Because, I mean, this is technically political violence.
Right. Things should never get violent.
No.
On the left or the right.
I would hope not. And frankly, the police need to step up. And the reason why a lot of this, you know, in Charlottesville it happened because they weren't prepared. They didn't see, you know, this coming. They should have seen because of that DHS report.
Right. According to Political.com, the Department of Homeland Security warned Charlottesville police 3 days in advance
that something might happen.
This was going to be the worst confrontation yet.
Yes.
They had inside sources, and the police ignored it or whatever. So, all right, back on the phones we go. Dirk's on KVEC. Hi, Dirk.
Yeah, I saw the video on Buck Sexton's Twitter feed on about that reporter getting beat up by those anti-Fa people, like a bunch of barbarians swarming around him. This thing could just snowball because I guess they're going to lift the ban on the cops are being able to get military equipment and stuff, and this could just go on and on and on. It's not so much the military hardware that concerns me, it's the surveillance and this snitch culture of everybody kind of like snitching everybody else out, and that's kind of all I got to say. I don't think it's a political thing. I think it's a cultural thing, period. There's a lot of sickness in culture and disease, period, and that's kind of all I got to say. Thank you.
All right, Dirk, good to hear from you. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. What do you think about giving the police back the military-style weapons? Obama froze it. Trump renewed it.
I think Obama was right on this one. I was talking to you during break about going up to Aberdeen, Washington, my second reporting job for their Founders Day parade. The very first thing leading off the parade in Aberdeen, Washington, was one of these heavily armored MRAPs that the Aberdeen police have in Aberdeen, Washington.
I'm sorry, what's an MRAP?
It is basically it's an up-armored personnel carrier designed to be able to take an IED explosion and keep people safe inside.
I'm sure the Aberdeen police need that.
The Aberdeen police do not need that. they do not need that. I mean, it looks great at a parade, but they are never going to need that. My hometown of La Mesa, California, they've got one too. I've seen it in parades there. They don't need it.
Well, maybe if the Antifa see that coming, they'll think twice about picking fights.
If there was any evidence of that, you might be able to convince me.
All right, let's take some more calls. We've got Ron in AG on KVEC. Hey, Ron.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good.
You know, as far as the military weapons go, it's great if we could use the military here in the United States to when you have incidents with some of these terrorists, but you can't. Let me rephrase it. You're not supposed to. So if you don't arm, and I understand there's probably a little bit too much military, high-end military equipment that may be going to them, but they need the rifles, the weapons. They need the protection. They need some way to combat these terrorists if they come here in other than just their cars, let's put it that way. And and it's the FBI with their military weapons and defense and what have you. Where are they up here in San Luis Obispo? And you say, well, nobody will attack here. Well, we got a nuclear power plant right out there, you know, on the water.
Ron, have you been out there?
I just think.
Have you been out there?
Yes, once.
So have you seen, I mean, they've got like a paramilitary force out there. I'm not worried about Diablo Canyon.
Well.
They've got their own military out there.
Okay. All right. Well,
go ahead.
I'd set the FBI aside as far as this discussion goes, because, again, they are federal. As far as local police departments go, I'm fine with them having, you know, automatic rifles. They don't need a howitzer. They don't need an MRAP. If, you know, body armor, I'm cool with that too. But I think,
by all means, body armor.
But I think I think we've had way too much militarization of local police forces, where you've got police forces doing no-knock raids, knocking down doors, shooting people's pets, or shooting people, and it turns out they've got the wrong address, and they're doing it because, you know, there was a report that they might have a pound of pot.
What else, Ron?
Well, you know, they would do that whether they had the military weapons or not. And you know, I wasn't listening when you had. I think you had a discussion about, is it Folks? Is that his name?
Tom Folks wrote the column in the paper.
Yeah, I read it. You know, I grew up in the 50s, and I'm telling you what, it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to be in the 50s, because it sounds like he's young enough that the 50s were gone before he got here on Earth. And it was such a different life and such a good life. And he just denigrated everybody that grew up in the 50s. Yeah, at least that's the way I read it.
All right. Good to hear from you, Ron. Thanks. And I guess my beef is, why should Lynn Compton or Debbie Arnold have to come out and condemn Charlottesville? And if that's going to be the standard, why didn't Tom Folks condemn what happened to Steve Scalise and the Republicans when a Bernie Sanders supporter picked up a gun? There's inconsistency here.
Yeah, it's, again, you know, it's, Tom Folks is not like our caller Jennifer, you know. Right. You know,
Greg, for that matter.
Yeah, there are reasonable people on the left. Unfortunately, they don't get the jobs writing columns, and they don't generally get elected.
If you want in, we need your call now, please. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You mentioned Sarah Palin. Whatever happened to Sarah Palin? How did she fall from favor?
I think a couple of things caused her to fall from favor. I think the first thing was resigning as governor of Alaska before her term was up. And at least for me, you know, I had defended her for years because I thought the media applied a different standard to her than it did to most other politicians. But I kind of washed my hands of her when she came out for Donald Trump, because she had been preaching this Tea Party, you know, small government, no crony capitalism, this sort of thing. And then here comes the ultimate crony capitalist in the Republican primary, and she jumps on his bandwagon. And at that point, I was done with her.
Well, it sounds like most conservatives are, because she has limited influence.
I'd say she has very little influence. You know, the diehard Trump supporters, you know, the ones where he can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they'd still vote for him, I think they probably like her. But she's not running for office anytime soon.
Greg?
I'm one of those Trump supporters you just said, and I wanted her to get as far away from Trump as possible.
Why?
She is an anchor around the neck. Get her away.
Why?
Because her brand is just damaged. You don't look at her like someone who is competent and somebody you want to represent you or your beliefs or your thoughts.
She was almost the vice president of the United States.
And shockingly enough, first time, I actually voted for Barack Obama because I didn't want her. Right. That's how bad I did not. That's how much I felt.
You would
about
have been
her.
Okay, because McCain survived.
Yeah, yeah.
McCain was going to die
as president. But at his age, I did not want her as vice president.
So what about the New York Times case?
I thought the New York Times ran an editorial shortly after the day after the Scalise shooting, which basically said that Sarah Palin and her PAC were responsible for the shooting of Rep. Gabby Giffords in Arizona. And that had been debunked for years. The guy who shot Gabby Giffords had been kind of focused on her long before Sarah Palin was a national name. He's a nut job. There's no evidence he'd ever seen Sarah Palin's PAC map, and the New York Times...
PAC is in PAC.
Political Action Committee.
Right.
And the New York Times says that she caused that in an editorial that she incited that guy to shoot Gabby Giffords. And their defense was, well, we don't read our own paper, so we didn't know that our own paper reported that that was bogus.
I'm not quite sure that was worded that way.
Well, that was their defense.
Okay.
The defense, and the editor was, well, you know, even though he says, you know, Ms. Palin led, her incitement led directly to Gabby Giffords' shooting, he said, well, he didn't mean that it was direct. You look at it, you think he's either lying or he's incompetent, and he's lying.
Thank you, Matt Hoy. Again, check out Matt's blog at hoystory.com. Final thoughts, sir.
You know, to quote Rodney King, can't we all get along? The left needs to make sure they distance themselves from Antifa. The right needs to vociferously, and this includes Trump, condemn the KKK and the neo-Nazis. And we need to be respectful of each other's views and responsible.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
everybody, for listening. Craig Hill, thanks for your help as always. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Have a good night.